Good to see each one of you here today. God bless you. Isn't God good? I got excited preaching about Jesus coming back on Sunday school. If you're out there in the foyer, you might get to hear me. I didn't want to quit, I'll be honest with you. You see, the Bible is true. You can count on the Bible. When the Bible says something, it's going to happen. Don't matter if I believe it or you believe it, it's going to happen. And when you know it's going to happen, it's exciting. Amen? Let's stand for the reading of one verse, Job chapter 1, verse 1. Glad you're here this morning. Good crowd. There's a lot of families out of town for summertime, August, vacation time. Amen? But we're glad to have, we got guests with us today. We're glad, got some folks that used to be members here. We're glad they're here, and just good to see every one of you today. Pray for that bike run next week. Pray for that. I'd like to see the Lord bring the people in. Boy, I'd be excited to see some of the men get saved. And ladies, amen. If you've got some people you can witness to about that, take those flyers. They won't come unless you ask them. Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 1. What are we doing, John? You didn't do nothing, John? I feel sorry for the sound guys. They get blamed for everything. And they never get praised when things go good. Kind of like a referee, John. No matter which way you call it, 50% is going to be mad at you. One time I was in a church and I said, how many people are cold? And they'd raise their hand. I said, how many people are hot? And they'd raise their hand. I said, you that are hot, go there, and you that are cold, go over there, you know? One verse, Job chapter 1. Man, I love the Lord. Aren't you glad He loves you? Man, I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven, Brother Wayne. He's coming. Could be before I preach. Some guy says, preacher, you preach so long, it could come while you're preaching. Verse 1, Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. If you're looking for a job, you can call a job. But whose name was Job. And the man was a perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Boy, that's how we need to hate evil. That's why you shouldn't watch a lot of that stuff you do on TV, and that's why you shouldn't listen to some of the stuff you listen on that radio. Amen? Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart you told me to preach this message. Help me be a messenger from heaven for you. Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me. And I pray your Holy Ghost should go up and down each pew and work in everyone's heart. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl that were here. I thank you for the ones that were saved yesterday on visitation. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless this morning and bless the evening service. Be with Pastor Dave as he tries to be an encouragement to those people down in Cincinnati. Use him even right now while he's preaching, Father. And help us, Father, be a blessing to these today. We ask your blessings now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want us to look at the life of Job. You know, Job was a man that had a lot of trials. Job had heartaches. He had sorrows. He had hardships. He had sufferings. And he had financial losses. You know what? Brother Wayne, he's a guy kind of like us. Now, he got his all at one time. But you know what? I imagine if I talk to every one of you, there's none of us excluded. We've all went through some sorrows in our life. We've all had sicknesses in our life. We've all had setbacks in our life. We've all had heartaches in our life. We've all lost loved ones in our life. Amen? And so, Job is a perfect man to look at his life. I'm going to read in a few minutes, I'm going to read you two verses out of the book of James. It actually says he's an example for us. So I want us to look at Job and think about his life today, kind of apply it to us. Brother Brian, he just shared with me before church, he He's got some health issues, some major health, and he's going to have to go through a lot of tests next week. Pray for Brother Brian. He's got heart and different things, and Karen has to live with him and stuff like that. I'm just kidding, having fun. But seriously, he's going through some health issues, and I promise you I'll be praying for you, Brother Brian. And we ought to pray for one another, amen? But I want us to look at this and think about his life and compare it to our life and see how we could see how he handled some stuff and maybe see if we can handle it even with the patience that he did, you know? You know, Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. You know, there is a lot of trouble in life. I mean, you struggle coming out of your mother's womb. Your mother struggles having you. Goes through the jaws of death. You young people, don't you disregard your mom and dad. Don't you disregard your mother. She went through the pains of death to have you born. She could have lost her life having you born. You ought to thank God for your mother. Amen? And you ought to, you young man, you ought to thank God for your father and all what he does to help you. I like what that Brother Kent was talking about last night. So the kids come home and they say, I think I'm going to stay out till 2 o'clock in the morning today, Dad, and I'm going to take the car. And he says, no, I think you're thinking wrong. And here's why you're thinking wrong. Who pays for the roof over your head? I do. Who pays for the clothes on your back? I do. Who pays for the heat? Who pays for all the food you eat? I do. Are you kids listening to me? This is why mom and dad can tell you what to do. Because they got the gold standard. When you're old enough to move out and you can pay all your bills and you want to make all this, that's fine. But while you're under mom and dad's roof, you obey mom and dad. Amen? Amen. That's right. Well, Job didn't have to. Job actually lost a lot in his life. He had some great heartache and sorrows. And our life is full of sorrows. I was talking to, we closed in our Sunday school. I had Brother Brent Foreman read Revelation 21:4. And there'll be no more sorrow, no more death. And the former things are past. You don't have to worry about going to the hospital, taking tests. I'm glad we got that to look forward to. But until that time, we're faced with life's issues. Dee's got to face all the problems with McDonald's. Ronald McDonald and the Golden Arches until she gets the real Golden Arches. Amen? We're faced with these issues of life. Don't give up on God. I hope I can encourage you today not to give up, not to turn back, not to throw the towel in, but trust God. And you know, we have a great God. Amen? You know, when you study the book of Job, we do believe the book of Job, we believe it is, probably the oldest book in the Bible. As far as when it was written. We don't know the exact time of Job's life, but we do believe he was born not too long after the flood. And I'll tell you why we believe he was born soon after, not too long after the flood. Look at Job chapter 22. He talks about the flood. I know he wasn't born before the flood. He wouldn't be talking about the flood. Remember, there was only 8 people that made it through the flood. Noah and his 3 sons and their 3 wives and Noah's wife. Hello? But boy, they passed the message down through the ages. Look at Job chapter 22. And look at verse 15 and 16. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. People ought to be afraid of God. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth, because... am I? I'm not in the right... I'm not... Well, Brother Mike, I'm having the same trouble you are. I'll try. Let me try this. Let's try 22:15. Let's try it again. There's something about that first. I get two more chances now. Look at verse 15, Job 22. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden? Remember back in the days of Noah, it was so evil, God repented that he made man. So here Job's referring to the wickedness of man. Can I say this to you? When Jesus talked about coming back, he says, as the days of Noah were, so shall come be coming the Son of Man. And they, in those days, they were wicked. Did you ever notice the world's getting more wickeder and wickeder and evil? How many understand what I'm saying? Look at verse 16. Which were cut down out of time, whose foundations was overflown with a flood. How many see that? So Job here is talking about the flood. We believe he was born after the flood. And we believe he was born before the Mosaic law. Because if you look at chapter 1 and verse 5 of Job, I'm in the book of Job. I'm studying the book of Job. I'm trying to teach you the book, some of the teachings of the book of Job. Job 1:5, if you'll see, he said, and he brought, and it was so in the days of the feasting, and it was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. How many see that? He offered burnt offerings. He did it himself. Our brother Coolidge, if it would have been back in, and if it would have been at the Mosaic time, he would have took it to the tabernacle or to the temple. So look up here. So we know, Billy, he was after Noah, after the flood, but he was before Moses. How many see that? So you can put them in that time slot from the scriptures. You can kind of rightly divide the truth there. Amen? Remember Noah lived to be 950 years old. Methuselah was the oldest guy, 969 years. He died before at the flood. Are you with me? How many are with me? Watch this. But after the flood, see that, after the flood, everything changed drastically, and people didn't live as long. And so time went by, and for instance, by the time you got to Abraham, Genesis 25:8, he died at 175 years old, Abraham. But see now, Job was way before Abraham. How many are with me yet? And so we think we can't. If you look at Job chapter 42, the last chapter in Job. Look at verse 16, the last verse. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and daughters and sons even four generations. He lived 140 years after that. So we don't know what it was before. How many are with me? I'm in Job 42:16. So Job died being an old man, full of days. I put a notation there, Brother Mike. 25:8 of Genesis talked about Abraham died. It's almost the same scripture. He died full of years. Okay, so it's similar. But we think, Brother Freddie, that somewhere around 300. He lived to be around 300. Job did. Because in that time span where he lived, those people lived about that long in that time span. How many are with me yet? Now, if you don't, I don't know exactly what, he might have died at 250. I'm just giving you an approximate. Don't say, man, preacher, Job died at 300. I don't know exactly when Job died. I know he lived 144 years after his other kids were born. And he saw generations of them, what it says. Amen? And so we know that much about Job. We know that Job was a historical figure. When you think about Job, the fact that he's referred to in the book of Ezekiel, I'm going to read to you Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14. Look up here. Job was a righteous man. Job was a saved man. In Ezekiel 14, 14, the Bible says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Isn't that, man, he's mentioned with Noah. He's mentioned with Daniel. How many see that? We're in it, and that they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness at the Lord. How many see that? Well, anyways, so we know that he was a righteous man. He was a saved man. And by the way, verse 20 of that same chapter of Jeremiah, of Ezekiel 14, boy, this is a good scripture. Some kids think, well, I can get to heaven on my daddy's shirt tail. I can, if, you know, if your dad or mom's saved, this will tell you you can't. Everyone must have their own righteousness to get, and that righteousness has to be imputed by Christ. I talked about that Wednesday night. You had a great Bible study here on Wednesday night about Christ's imputed righteousness. Verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. See, you can't get to heaven by someone else's righteousness. I don't care if your daddy's a deacon or daddy's a preacher or your mama's a Sunday school teacher or sings in the choir. You can't get to heaven. No, you got to have your own imputed righteousness, and that only comes by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? We talked about that Wednesday night, about imputed righteousness. And so we note that he's talked about by Jeremiah, by the prophet Ezekiel, rather. Then also he's talked about in James chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example, the suffering, affliction, and of patience. Well, we all go through that, don't we? Behold, we count them happy, which endure. Boy, that caught me when I read that, Mike. Behold, we count them happy, which endure. If you go through suffering, if you go through affliction, if you endure it, you're going to be happy. Only those that endure it are happy. Those that give up, those that turn back, those that grieve, those that become bitter, they're not happy. Those that blame God, those that get bitter in their heart, they're not happy. It's the ones that endure, that stayed faithful to God, that stayed true to God, that didn't turn their back on God. They're the ones that came through the fire. They're the ones that didn't get the smell of smoke on them. They're the ones that were happy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were happy. Daniel in the lion's den, when he came out, he was happy. Those that went to the sea, the Red Sea, they were happy. It's those that endure, those that don't give up, those that don't turn back, those that don't become bitter, they're the ones that are happy in the end. They're the ones that don't have sorrow at the end. They're the ones that don't have regret and grief at the end. Boy, a lot of times they say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have did that. Wish I wouldn't have said that. How many are with me? It says there in verse, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Because he's talking about Job lost all his 10 children. Lost all his finances in one day. You're talking about a stock market crash. He lost more than the stock market. He lost more than his stock. He lost his children. You take my children out of me, you're going to rip my heart out. I don't care about the money. Money's nothing, but the babies. Hello? And he made it. And God gave him 10 more. And not only did he give him 10 more, I read in chapter 42, it says, I read to you earlier, it said he saw all the generations, several generations grow up. In other words, he saw his grandkids, his great-grandkids, his great-great-grand. He saw them all grow up. I hope Lukey lives to be 20 if he don't get spanked and get killed by getting spankings all the time. I'd love to see him grow up. Hello? You know, we count them happy that endure. And then we know Job knew the Savior. Go back to Job. Job knew the Savior. He talked about being just with God. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Job chapter 9, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "We're going to teach the book of Romans. This is a great verse when you teach the book of Romans on justification. Look what he says in verse 2. I know it is so. Job says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? Woo! That great doctrine of justification. And he knew about it. How can a man just be just with God? The way you only get just with God is you must take the provision that God's given. And that provision is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you go. There's one meeting between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Amen? How many have you taken Christ as your Savior? Oh, that's the most important. If you haven't done it, do it today. Don't put it off. I'm not talking about religion. I was talking to some people the other day. And by the way, Rod and Debbie went and visited a lady in the hospital yesterday, Chelsea's aunt. Your aunt trusted Christ as her Savior, by the way. And they went and saw her over in Akron City, and she trusted, I think she's up and a senior citizen. I don't know exactly how old, but Debbie got to lead her to Christ. And Billy just told me about his brother getting saved recently. And he followed the Lord and believed his baptism. Of course, once you're saved, baptism has got nothing to do with going to heaven. Baptism is just an obedience, and it's an outward profession of faith, and it's an entrance into the church. But having Christ as your Savior, that's what gets you in the entrance of heaven. And I was glad he trusted Christ as Savior. You know, once you die, you're sealed forever. That's why you can't put off with your family not being saved. You got to get your family and friends saved right now. And Job said, how can a man be just? How should a man be just with God? You get just by being justified. You get that by receiving Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even them that believed on his name, John 1:12. And so, and he also believed in the rapture, Annie. Look at Job knew about Christ coming back. And Job chapter 19, look at Job chapter 19. Look at verse 25 and 26. Job was a saved man, and Brother Billy, Job had some insights of the future about God. Job chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. For I know. See, I like this. He was a fundamentalist. I know. He wasn't hoping. He wasn't praying. He knew. For I know. See, look up here. Heaven's a no-so. Heaven is a no-so. I'm not hoping about heaven. I know about heaven. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again and receive to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so you better be prepared when he comes, because if you're not prepared, you're not going to go. How do you get prepared? You trust Christ as your Savior. You ask him in your heart and say, save my soul. Amen? For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Woo! Glory to God. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He said, man, I'm gonna get a brand new body, and I'm gonna see him. Can anyone say amen? I'm gonna tell you right now, Job knew the Almighty. Look at Job chapter 32 and verse 8. I'm telling you, folks, now you wonder why he didn't turn his back on God. 32:8. But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. How many see that? Look at 33:4. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Oh, man. He knew there was a creator. Do you know there's a creator today? You ought to have it deep in your heart. Amen? And so we see this about Job, and my lands, just a tremendous thing about, look at, let me read to you, go to Job 42 again, and just look at the latter part of Job, and look at verse 12, because I don't know if I'm going to get to this, so I think I was going to bring this at the end, but because I never get to the end, I think I'll do the end, then go back to the front, so I probably won't get to preach the middle, amen? That's how I have to divide into three sections and decide what section I want to preach on. Amen. Job chapter 42 and verse 12. Here's at the end of Job, Brother Bobby. God gives him he gives him his children and everything. Look at verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He actually blessed him more than the beginning. You know what? Look up here. I don't know what God's got for my life, Billy, in this life. But Brian, really, this life is but a vapor. Amen. We're just passing through. Yes. But I do know what he's got for eternity. Amen. And it's going to be splendid. It's going to be beyond measure. Scripture says in Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor nothing's entered in the heart of man, which God had prepared for them that love him. All my lands. Heaven is, I can't describe to you, Brother John, heaven is so wonderful. Brother Les, heaven is so spectacular. I can't put into human words how great heaven's going to be. Paul said in Corinthians, words unspeakable. Amen? Look at verse 12 of 42 of Job. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000, and those aren't the kind you smoke either, by the way, and 1,000 yoke. Remember the little camels? They used to have a little, when I was kids, used to, and it was like the cracks, or was it cracks or hits? Remember, you old people know what I'm talking about. I can't, they used to flip it up. Oh, it's, never mind. By the way, I don't think I've smoked over a pack of cigarettes in my whole life, and that, I was afraid it stumped my growth, so I didn't, you know. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 more. And he, look at verse 15. And all in all the land were no, look at, his daughters were so beautiful, Annie. No, his daughters were so beautiful. They were the most beautiful girls in all the land. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this, Job lived 140 years. After all those kids, after these kids were born, he lived 140 years. After all those kids being born. Wow. What did Mrs. Job do? She probably died after having all those kids. They probably put them in her grave. After this, preachers wound up today. I'm telling you right now, I'm wound. After this lived Job 140 years. And saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. Isn't that amazing? So go back to Job chapter 1 now. I'll try to bring you back in focus. Oh, isn't God good? And what I want to tell you is this, don't give up on God. And by the way, Katie, even if God wouldn't have done that for him, he's still a great God. Because, you know, look up here. Levi, I don't understand why everything happens in life. I don't. And not everything happens to bad people. A lot of things happen to good people. But God says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. to them they're called according to His purpose. It says, the things that happen aren't good, but you can get something good from it. And this is a great illustration. I hope you can see this. If I was just to bring some flour here and say, eat this flour, you probably wouldn't want to eat that. If I would just bring some shortening and say, just eat, you wouldn't want that. If I would just give you some salt, just say, eat this salt, you wouldn't want to eat that. And here's some buttermilk, just drink that. But if I put all those together and put them in an oven and come out with those southern fried biscuits, how many like biscuits? I'm getting hungry. See, Ryan, there's things in life sometimes that, son, that we don't, separately, we don't really want, they're not that tasteful. But boy, you put a lot of things together and shake them up and make a, some good things can come out of them, like those homemade biscuits that Mom make. Amen? Especially you put some gravy with it too and some sausage. I'm coming, Martha. Are you with me? No sausage. Now we'll just take an extra pill. I've learned how to be a diabetic. You can eat anything you want. Just shoot more insulin, that's all. There's nothing. Bobby, I can eat anything you want to eat, buddy. I just up the dose of insulin, that's all. I can go to McDonald's, eat sausage, muffin, and egg, biscuits and gravy, Big Mac, Whopper. I mean, I tear my stomach up afterwards, but man. And the sugar, well, your sugar, I'll put some pie and some cake. Man, put it all on there. Give me some blueberry. Give me some apple cherry. Give me those chocolate chip cookies. Eat a whole pan of them. Check your sugar. If it's high, Andy knows what I'm talking about. Just take a little more, baby. For thy stomach's sake. There's nothing a diabetic can't do. I prove it every week. I've learned to be a good diabetic. Job chapter 1, I've got to get this done. You know what the word Job means? Persecuted. Persecute. Isn't that ironic? Job was persecuted, wasn't he? The word Job means persecuted. And in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that was live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, Job was a godly man. Look down in verse 6 of Job chapter 1. Let me read a couple verses. Now there was a day when the sons of God came, those are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along with them, also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered, Lord, and said, from going to and fro on earth. See, Satan's not like God. God's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at all time at once. Amen. Satan can only be in one place at one time. That's why he gets all his little imps to go do his dirty work for him. But the Bible says he's a roaring lion going out seeking whom he would devour. Watch out, he'll try to devour your life if you'll let him. And he's from going to and fro on earth, walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. He's the best I've got, man. This guy is a great Christian. Perfect, upright, man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. How many see that in verse 8? How many see that? And then Satan answered, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him? Yeah, God does put hedges around us. I just prayed around Diane. She's going to be taking a trip. They're taking off, and I prayed that God put a hedge around her as she traveled. Diane Jones will be taking a two-week trip with the Amish and going a long ways with Bud's daughter. And I just said, Lord, be with her and watch over and give her safety. God can put a hedge around us. Pray for those hedges, amen? Pray for the hedges around your children. Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about he that on every side that thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and substance is increased in the land? Yeah, God, he ought to love you. Man, he's a millionaire. He's got everything. You're giving him everything, God. Hello? Can I tell you something? We ought to love God if we don't have anything. There ain't no greater gift than salvation. We've got eternal life. We got mansions in glory. We're going to live forever. I'm not going to hell. I don't care if he left me on just... Boy, would that be rough being on the streets of gold, pearly gates? That's going to be a rough place to be a street person, isn't it? That could be no street people, but what I'm saying is the poorest person in heaven is going to be is richer than anybody in this earth. Are you with me? And the greatest thing is, Brother Jack, we're not going to be burning in hell. I think we forget that. I really think we forget about the burning in hell. I'm glad God snatched me out of hell. I think we'd love him more if we thought about that more. Notice, but put verse 11, but God, you put your hand forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee in thy face. You take away that nice car, take away that nice house. Do all that and see if they still love you. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth and from the presence of the Lord. In other words, see, only God can deter. Satan can't kill you unless you get God's permission. Look up here. God's the giver and the taker of life. Satan can't do nothing without God's permission. Hello? Are you with me? Well, I'm glad old Slewfoot ain't got over our Lord. Amen. Now I want you to look at that verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? You know, sometimes, and I don't have to preach, you know the story. You know, he was sitting there one day, and then all of a sudden the servants come and say, oh, my lands, Job, your daughter's died, your son's died. Job, all your cattle's gone, everything's, he lost it all. You read those next verses. Everyone knows the story about Job. He lost everything. Yet he didn't lose his integrity. He didn't lose his faith in God. But I noticed something. Did you notice something about this? Have you considered my servant Job an upright man? Was God punishing Job? No. Did Job do something bad? I tell you, it just gets underneath my skin real bad. Don't come up and say, boy, preacher, did you hear what happened to these people? Boy, God must have really been putting judgment on them. Really? Who told you that? It wasn't God that told you that. I'm going to tell you right now, don't put judgment on. Listen, it's just because someone said, well, man, they came down with cancer. They must really be bad. Are you stupid? Did I tell you that people have been dying since Adam and Eve? Hello? Did I tell you that everybody gets sick? That none of us are immune to it? Now, when we get out in eternity, Brother Bill, when God's away, all tears from their eyes, and someone come and say, hey, man, that guy's got cancer down there, I'd say, what? That's impossible. Hello? Don't just worry about, you know, what's that scripture? Why you behold, take the mote out of your own eye. I get so sick of these holier-than-thou people. Looking down their little stinking pharisaical nose and ooh, they must have really did something bad. God's really judging them. Nobody's going to judge you for judging them. Scripture says, judge not lest ye be judged. Hello? What I want you to see is this. Job didn't do anything. Look at, it says he's an upright man. God wasn't judging Job. He was a good person. Say this with me. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. It really does. We live in a corrupt world, but God allowed that. Look up here. My whole message today is this. God sometimes is going to test us. God sometimes is going to put us through some trials. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. We're all going to be tested. Not just you, Brian. Everybody in this whole, me included. See, God's wanting to know, I wonder if they'll still stay faithful. If I take this away, let's see. Satan said, the only reason he's serving you is because he got a lot of money. Only reason he's serving you, because only reason he loves you is because he's got all those children. You take him away and see what he does. Hello? Hello? See, sometimes God, he wants to test us to see how much we really do love him. By the way, look up here. If we love the things that God gave us more than we love the one that gave them to us, our love's in the wrong place. See, I should love God above all things. Love the Lord with all thy soul, with all thy might. Hello? How many are with me? Just turn the page and I'll finish this out. Look at the scripture there in verse, was it 20? Look at Job 20, chapter 1, verse 20. Then Job arose and after he lost all his children and lost all his wealth. How many got Job chapter 1, verse 20? Job arose, went, he arose. I like that. Most time when we lose, we don't want to do nothing. I'm too mad. I ain't doing squat. I'm not going nowhere, preacher. Yep, you got it. Then Job arose. Just making him rise makes me feel good. Most time we're so depressed, we just look up here. I'm going to tell you right where it's coming from. When I get depressed, when you get depressed, when I get discouraged, when you get discouraged, we just want to stay in a room by ourselves. And we turn the lights off. And we pull the shades and pull the blinds. And don't bother me. I don't want to talk. I don't want to see nobody. Not even God. Anybody home? Am I knocking on anybody's door? I know I'm knocking on mine. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and cussed God out. He did. He worshipped him. Wow. I'm going to be honest with you. Woo! I don't know if I could do. I wish. Mike, I'm just going to be. I'm not going to lie to you. I hope I could. If someone like that, I hope I can do that. I had a preacher friend used to be here years ago. He's no longer in this Ravenna area. I still love him. Pastor Sam. Pastor Sam Goble. And his wife, we were getting to be real good friends with him and his wife. We were during vacation Bible school, been years back. They came and said, Pastor Sam's wife just got killed in a car. I remember running to the hospital with Pastor Sam and over there in Akron. And his one boy was in critical, but he did live. His wife was killed. I was bawling. Sam was consoling me. It was his wife that died. And I was the guy that was crying. And he was consoling me. What a man of faith. All I could think was, if that would have been my wife, if that had been Rosie, who I'd been married to for 40 years, what would go through? You know, we ought to think about stuff like this. How would we react? He came through with flying colors. never turned his back on God. He said, "Oh, preacher, don't worry. God's got a reason. She's with the Lord now." And they had a good marriage. It wasn't, you know, he just had faith. It's quiet here now. Now we're getting down to reality, aren't we? And he worshiped God. I'm going to tell you right now, when things go hard, Miss Mert, it's hard to worship God. You lost your job. You can't get. I remember you got your car stolen and everything. And boy, I said, "Oh dear God, please help Miss Myrtle, and please help Eddie not to smart off to him, because I know in the mood she's right now, she'll whip him, she'll beat him the fire out of him." I said, "I hope he's got enough sense not to mess with her right now. Stay away." Well, Miss Myrtle, you came out of it better than what you began with. Isn't that amazing? But at that critical time, I was hoping you didn't give up. Dee Cottrell's always facing. We have a lot of single ladies. A lot of our ladies here are faced with a lot of pressures on them. I prayed for you last night that God would just bless you, encourage you, help you. She has to put up with Arlene Robinson a lot of times. And kid. I prayed for Don. By the way, kidding with her, but I prayed for Arlene too, that everything will be all right with her. She's got some health issue. We don't know what's wrong. Dee says she don't have no brains, but that's not it. But we need to pray for one another. Amen. But look up here. When there's times when it's great when everything goes good, Coolidge. There's a family, him and Sonia. No, it's not. I saw Sonia say that's Bob. Him and Robin. I think in 1 year they lost 13 family members, 14 family members in 1 year they lost. You talk about knowing sorrow. One of those was his mother. Three months. Yes. Yes. I mean, you talk about sorrow. Our life is full of sorrows. Job was a man of patience. God said, I read to you in James, he said, use Job as an example to live by. Carl, Job didn't turn his back. He just said, "Okay, God, I'm not happy, but there's got to be a reason for it. I'm going to trust you with not only do I trust you with my eternal soul and my life, I'm going to trust you with my family's life." Are you with me? Look at verse 21. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." By the way, if he does take our loved ones with us, now all children go to be with the Lord. All children, the little children that don't know enough to be saved, they're all with Christ. So if you lost a child, years ago we had a member here, and they lost an infant, they lost a young baby, and a Catholic priest told them that their baby went to hell because she wasn't baptized. And I told her, I said, "I wish I had been with you at the time. I'd have punched that guy right in the face." In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And that woman knew the Bible, and she was saved. Now she's saved, and she got saved afterwards, years ago. But I could still see, even though she knew truth, that lie scarred her. And what he did, he put a little taint of doubt. I'm going to tell you right now, all children, Jesus said, "Suffer little children come to me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." David said, when he lost their baby with Bathsheba, he can't come to me, but I will go to him. If you're here today, and you've lost little children, I want to tell you something on the authority of the Word of God. You'll see those babies again. And by the way, they're with Jesus right now, and they're having a great time. And all that are saved, Grandma, we'll see Grandpa again. Well, I'm glad heaven's real. Amen. The Bible says, verse 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's 12 o'clock. I just want to say this to you. Sometimes, Raji, there's things in life that happen. And I don't like it. There's some things that happen in life that I don't like. And there's some things I don't understand. I didn't like it when Melinda Lamb died. To me, she was a great Christian lady, and I didn't want her to ever leave us. God said it was time for her to come. I didn't like that baby dying, some of the babies that died. Yes. To be honest with you, there's been times I've been kind of mad at God. I said, God, I don't like that. It's a wonder he don't kill me sometimes. By the way, it's a wonder he don't kill you, Tim, sometimes. I don't like to see, some, like I see some ladies here, that I've seen their husbands suffer for long periods of time, died. I don't understand it all. I know the truth because of sin. All things come because, death comes because of sin. I know that truth. But there's things that happen in life when they happen. How many of you ever say, man, God, I don't really agree with that? And I don't agree sometimes. But you know what? Job said he didn't charge God foolishly. In other words, he said, God, I don't understand it, but you know all things. Look up here. We have to put our life, our children's life, our wife and husbands, we have to put all our lives in God's hands, and whatever happens, we have to say, God, we trust you, and whatever he does, he knows best. And that's hard to do. But if we do it, we'll be better to do it. Dr. John Brooke taught me a scripture years ago, and I've quoted it to you multi-thousands of times. And before I go, I'll quote it to you another 1,000 times. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto God. There's some things in life that happen that we aren't going to know why until we get to heaven. Don't charge God foolishly. Say, God, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I'm going to trust you with this because I have to do it. How many see that? And then I'm going to close with this thought. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils, sore boils from the sole of his foot until his crown. Here's what I wrote down. Did you ever notice when things are going bad, it still can get worse? Mark, he's already lost his children. He's already lost all his wealth. I mean, what else can happen, preacher? How many look up here? I mean, everything's went bad. You think eventually it would stop. But it didn't stop. It seems like sometimes when it rains, it pours. But aren't you glad that even though it did, he didn't give up on God? And what I'm going to say is this. If it gets that bad for you and I, will we have the integrity of Job? I hope so. I wrote, look at this last verse and I'm all done. And he took the potsherd, scraped himself with all, and he sat down among the ashes. What a, can you imagine this poor, I mean, this is pitiful. Can you just imagine Job sitting there? I mean, he lost his friends, his family, he lost his money, everything, his children. Then this is the knife. This one here. I even put orange in my Bible. I'm done. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. What a great wife. Ladies, when the bottom falls out, don't be Mrs. Job. Your husband is counting on you. Really, you're his helpmeet. And can I flip that? When the bottom falls out, you men, don't you turn on your wife. We're co-laborers together for him. But I thought about this. It's not bad enough. But then he lost his spouse. Mrs. Job, she gave up on her husband, and she gave up on God. You know what? Let's not give up on our family. And most of all, let's not give up on God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray, dear Lord, that we would learn some truth from Job. He's went through a lot of things, and we're going to be faced with many things in our life. I pray we can retain our integrity and that we would have the patience of Job. And I see Job was rewarded. God blessed him more than what he had in the beginning. I read that to him at the end. Lord, beyond that, Job is blessed in eternity. And so, Lord, I pray with all our hearts that we, as we face sorrow and heartache and sickness, tragedies and setbacks, financial losses, help us not to become bitter. Help us become better. And help us to have faith in you, to trust you, to pass the test. Lord, help us to know it's not because you hate us, it's because you love us. And you're letting us go through some things that make us even greater Christians in the future. After we suffer a little while, the Bible says, strengthen, settle. And Father, I pray with all my heart. I know there's people here now facing financial problems. There's people here facing heartache of lost loved ones. There's people here facing sicknesses and all kinds of different challenges in their life, their jobs, and Lord, being lonely, being discouraged. And Lord, please come down. God, would you come down and hug these people today? Let them know that you love them. And Father, help them, encourage them, and help them to be like Job. Help them, Job, to be their example. Help them to have patience, to endure, so they can be happy at the end. Those that endured, happy are those that endured. Let them know the great joy, the peace that passes all understanding, that only God can give. And Lord, if there's people that's never trusted you as Savior, let them see the urgency to be born again. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure I'm saved. Could you raise a hand? I'm sure I'm saved. I know it. Thank you. You may put them down. How many be honest with yourself and honest with God and say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just lift a hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd really like, preacher, I'd really like to know. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But I want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray. Anyone, just raise your hand. Let me see it. Let me pray for you. Hold it up high where I can see it. Pray for me. If you're going to get baptized, come. We're going to baptize today. We've got people lined up to baptize. Those are going to get baptized. You've been saved, you come. Come and get baptized. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that everyone here will know Christ as their Savior. And I pray, Father, for all of us, when we go through those trials of life, those testings, those sufferings, those sickness, those losses, those heartaches, help us to have the patience of Job. And help us to know the happiness and the joy for those that endure. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come, you come right now.